I told Gail on the way down this morning I was a little unsettled on where to go. I studied two different places this week, but I may go to a third place. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's begin a reading there. The title of this message is A Stone of Stumbling. First Peter chapter 2, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, turn over to 3:18. And that is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, to grow in the Lord is to realize our absolute inability in ourselves. For our Lord said to us in John chapter 15, you can do nothing. And that's what it means. You can do nothing. A dead man can't rise from the dead. He can't unbind the shackles of death from himself and get up. A creature cannot create itself. A thing cannot be both cause and effect. So without God intervening on our behalf, we are overcome of death as we appear in this world and cannot help ourselves. Simply cannot do it. So, back to verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, a growth in grace is a growth in the ability to trust and to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if we have been instructed by the Holy Spirit and know what the plague of our own heart is, what our indwelling sinfulness is, even after regeneration, and in view of the fact that God, contrary to our nature, has grafted us into that good olive tree, which is His church and people, if we have tasted His gracious disposition toward us, that's good evidence to us. If we understand what grace is, grace requires absolutely nothing from the recipient of grace. You can't do anything to deserve grace. You cannot merit grace. Grace is God looking at you and saying, in spite of what you are in yourself, I'll heal you. Let me turn back to, and I don't remember where the scripture is exactly. I think it's in Hosea chapter 14. We'll see chapter 14, verse 4. Now listen to this. This is grace. I will heal their backsliding. Now the Lord looks at us and says, well, you have no strength whatsoever. I find no strength in you. You're content. If I leave you to yourself, you will continually go in your own way. Isaiah 53:6. Let me turn there and read that, and then I'll come back here to Hosea. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now that's what we forever do. Look at Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. Now wait a minute. We, that includes Isaiah, considered in himself as a man in the flesh under the law and not considered as in Christ. He says here, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now back to Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. The sin nature that is in us will ever lead us down the sinful path. We're sinners by nature. We have a sin nature. We have a sinful nature. And we are sinful creatures. And therefore, if God leaves us alone, we'll always go in the direction of sin. Listen to what he said. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that is on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Who is us? That's the people of God. Yeah. Now, back to Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their backslidings. They're continually going astray. And I will love them freely. No cause. I will love them without a cause. No cause in them for my love to be placed upon them. I will love them freely. Now look at these the rest of this. For mine anger is turned away from him. That happened at Calvary. The Lord poured out all of his anger because of our sinfulness and our sins upon him with whom we are in covenant union from the days of eternity, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back to Peter now. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. We are the circumcision, or we are the Israel of God, the true Israel of God. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We do not worship God by looking at crosses and statues and plaques and one thing and another, or by offering blood sacrifices or any other physical thing that we do in the flesh. We worship God by trusting that we are in a continual state of perfect justification in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to worship God in the Spirit. We trust and rest in Jesus Christ for our life and everything that pertains to our life. Our Lord said in John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust him and rest in him for all of salvation, knowing that we supply absolutely nothing, that we cannot justify ourselves, that we cannot sanctify ourselves, that we cannot redeem ourselves, that we can't do one thing to help ourselves, but we are saved by his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Nothing is of ourselves. That it is the gift of God, not of works, not of anything that you do, are doing, or ever have done, or ever will do. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are the circumcision, the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, that is, we trust Jesus Christ wholly, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Look on down now. Verse 8. Now, Paul goes over his pedigree here, and he says, "I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I was blameless according to the law. I was the first-rate Hebrew of the chosen tribe. But I count that all nothing, that I may see and be found in Christ Jesus. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may be found in bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, a member in particular of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that Israel of God." "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness that I work out by the law, by my own personal obedience." I don't want that, he said. I count that dung. I count that all. I'm ready to throw that away. I don't want that. Give me Christ and Christ alone. "Which is of, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith." All right, let's go back to 2 Peter. Verse 2, "And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, to come to the Lord is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. "Behold, my servant." That's the God-man mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, him who is both God and man in one person. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him," and look at this, "and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles." The thing that's meant by judgment there, now according to our depravity of nature, we have no sound judgment. We look at grace and when we what we say is, no, that's too easy. That's too simple. That just couldn't be the way. And in our depravity, everything, we are at enmity with God and cannot have a right thought about God in any way. But God comes to us, and the Lord Jesus Christ brings us the ability to think clearly about God. Amen. I'm going to give these Gentiles good judgment in things pertaining to God. Behold my servant whom I uphold, now mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Christ Jesus is the elect of God, and we're chosen in him. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. I'm going to give him the ability to understand and know what the truth is and to love the truth of the gospel. Back to 2 Peter verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, we know what reception he received among men. He was disallowed indeed of men. Look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Now look at Isaiah 53. Turn on to Isaiah 53. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. He disallowed indeed of men, and he was despised and rejected of the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers of Israel. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of the will of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll stop by this. I'm going to go by this teaching on the spiritual house. You are built up a spiritual house. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both, that is both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 is where we're at right now. Now therefore ye are no more foreigners, strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is that holy Jerusalem, that the city of God, that John saw coming down from God out of heaven. This is the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. And he says that we are built up, ye also as lively stones. Now back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built together in this spiritual house. If you're a believer, you're a stone in that house. God picked out the place for you in that house before the foundation of the world. And he picked you out for that place, and he fitted you to go just that place, and he fitted the place for you. Look at Hebrews 3. Now, I'm talking to you bricks here. You believers, you stones that are in this house. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You know anything about that? Is the gospel to you a joyful sound? Or is it just a sound? Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And that intimates that to some it's just a sound. But to some it's a joyful sound. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which should after be spoken. But Christ as a son over his own house, look at this, whose house are we? We're that house. We're that heavenly Jerusalem. We're the holy city. All right. Now back to Peter. Wherefore is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. Verse 5. Ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now those spiritual sacrifices are sacrifices of thanksgiving, praise, and honor. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall never be ashamed, shall never be put to shame. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ will never be ashamed of their total trust in him. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. There is the line of distinction, the discriminating love of God to the seed of the woman. He loved them from everlasting. To the seed of the serpent, he never knew them. Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. A stone of stumbling. Now the natural man and the flesh of every man hates the gospel, hates the truth of the gospel, because it is contrary to our sinful nature. We want to do what we want to do. We hate and despise the sovereignty of God in ourselves. It is only by the new heart that we are made willing and made to love the gospel. I will give them a new heart, and I'll put my spirit in them, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes, and they shall keep my judgments and do them, and I shall be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. That covenant has stood from everlasting. It is the everlasting covenant of grace, sealed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. If we can believe this gospel, if God in His grace gives us an ear that can hear, an eye that can see the truth of these words, and a heart that can understand them and love them, my, what a blessing. It's worth all this world and 10,000 like it in all the universe. It is everlasting life. Because there's many who simply cannot. They can't believe it because they're dead in trespass and sin. And we were just as dead as they are in ourselves, considered as men and women in the flesh and under the law. We were children of wrath. We were aliens from God. Haters of God, didn't want anything to do with God, but God was not willing to leave us in that shape because He had loved us from everlasting. All right, let's go on. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall never be ashamed or never be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Look at this. But ye are a chosen generation. God picked you out. God said, I'll take this one, but I don't want the rest of that crowd. And then I'll take this one. He picked you out. He singled you out according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God chose us in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's God given us? Everything He's got. In Christ. Everything. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, not because we were, because we weren't, but that we should be. And we are in Christ Jesus, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom, now look at that, we were accepted in the beloved, and that's before redemption is mentioned. God chose us before the foundation of the world and put us in Christ Jesus for safekeeping. He sanctified us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And he saw us in Christ when first he laid eyes on us. Holy in Christ's holiness. Redeemed by that redemption that Christ would accomplish in time. Justified by his shed blood. Perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. I'll just go to a couple of places here and then we'll move along. 2 Timothy 1:9. And I'll begin reading verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. When did that happen? Eternity past. When God chose you in Christ Jesus, when did he put you in Christ? That's when he saved you. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. All right. But ye are a chosen generation. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, what it means to be chosen in Christ is to be chosen as members in a federal head. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30, we are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are members in particular of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Thy children shall be taught of God. And because ye are sons, therefore God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Because we were in covenant union with Christ Jesus, all our debts were paid. All our sin debts was paid at Calvary. Because of that covenant union that we were in, we were espoused to Jesus Christ. We were married to him from the days of eternity. We stood in covenant relationship with him. We were in Christ Jesus long, long before we were in Adam. We've been in union in Christ Jesus from everlasting. We're only in Adam as we're related to him by natural birth. We're related to him in natural. And that which is seen is temporal. But the things that bind us to Christ are eternal. That eternal covenant union. But you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That means that any time that you're in need, you have free access to the throne of God.
Amen.
Anytime and every time that your heart is broken, that this world is turned against you, you have access to the throne of your Father. And you can know that when you go to Him, He hears your prayer. Now He may say, He may not grant what you request. Might not be the best for you, but you can know He heard what you asked. You can talk to Him. You can pour out your heart to Him. You can complain to Him about how sinful you are. About how dull of understanding you are. About how cold your heart is. How lukewarm your love is toward Him. And all of those things that we see operating in us. And you can ask, Lord, give me a more sensible relationship, because you can't improve on the relationship you have with God. You just can't do that. Now, you can ask for a greater sensibility of it, that you can know more about it, and that you can live upon it more in your life, but to improve it, you can't do that. Because you never change. You're in a perfect state of justification in the Lord Jesus Christ. All He did when He was here on this earth, you did in Him, because you're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh.
Amen.
As God views it. This finger right here can't be any more part of me than it already is. It can't get any closer to me than it is. We're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And according to the covenant view, purpose, will, counsel, and determined resolve of our Lord, we have been from everlasting. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. My, a holy nation. Well, sometimes we don't act so holy, do we? But we are holy, perfectly holy, in the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not by what we do, not by the thoughts that pass through our mind, not by our attitudes and desires, not by anything that has anything in this wide world to do with us, but what we are in Christ Jesus. Look at John 14:20. We'll stop by John 14:19. John 14:19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Now look here. Because I live, ye shall live also. Why is that? Because we're bound together by a common life. He's the fountain of life. We derive our life from Him. It is in Him as in a fountain or a spring, but it is in us as a cup or a reservoir. We receive life from Him. Let me turn. You don't have to turn here if you don't want to, but look at John. John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. Beloved, 1 John 5:11. And this is the record, or this is God's record, or God's testimony. This is God's testimony. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. All right, now let's go back to John 14. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He's one with His people. All right, let's go back to 1 Peter. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a people of His own. Isaiah 43:21, I think it is, he said, but this people have I created for myself. They shall show forth my praises. you are a peculiar people, or a people for His own, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now that call, there is the general call that a person can goes out to universally. Anytime that the scriptures are read or the gospel is preached, there's a call that's a universal call. But there is this call. And this call is when God speaks life to you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you savingly and speaks to you the word of life, I'm sorry, you're just made alive in Christ Jesus, and there's not a thing you can do about it. He just makes you alive. And that life He puts in you is a life of faith and hope and love. It's the new heart. It's the sanctification of the Spirit. When He calls your name, just like Matthew, you'll come to Him. Yeah. Yeah. Matthew, follow me. Yeah. Which in time past were not a people. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song. That's this new nation, this royal priesthood, this holy, this peculiar people. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. How did you obtain it? You were chosen to it. from the days of eternity. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89:15. You know, people say, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Well, they got a new car in the garage. New carpet on the floor. You know, they got all kinds of things. Well, some of the most wicked people in the world are apparently blessed. Well, they are with God's common blessings. But I'll tell you who's really blessed. Somebody that fits this. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that can hear and understand and believe and rest in the gospel, that love the gospel. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. If God be for us, who can be against us? But there are some that hear the gospel and they don't hear a joyful sound. They just hear a sound. Oh, how thankful I know we are that God's given us that peculiar ear and seeing eye and understanding heart. Well, may the Lord bless you.